Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series, looking at the book of James. Our topic today is the strong and happy man. And our speaker is Pete Albinson, author and speaker and member of the board for Man in the Mirror.
We've got Pete Albinson here this morning. He's got a great message for us on James as we continue our series. So give him a big round of applause, and thank you all for your time this morning.
Good morning, Man in the Mirror. Good to see you guys all here. And you guys are the spiritual ones, right? Because you braved the water, the rain, and all that. I wonder who's going to be here. But you're the spiritual ones. It's good to have you. It's good to be with you again. You know, Man in the Mirror, we go back a long way. When we first planted a church in town here years ago, Pat Morley was in the Sunday school class. I tried to get him to come help me start our church, and he graciously declined. But what a privilege it is to be a part of Man in the Mirror for years and on the board for years and national speaker for Man in the Mirror. So my roots go deep. And, of course, our new president, Brett Clemmer, is a close friend, man I love deeply. And so we're so thankful to be connected with you, and my roots go deep with Man in the Mirror. And the ministry that I'm a part of now, that I am involved with in town, is a men's ministry too, and we're committed to sharing with you this effort in the spiritual fathers. And so we're in this with you. It's an excellent process, and we're looking forward to being with you in that. Hey, I noticed one of my guys sent me a picture of a whole slew of the Man in the Mirror area directors. And maybe you've seen that picture. All of them had beards. Every one of them. Every one of them. And I guess it's important to have a beard if you're going to be a real man. I don't know. Shakespeare said this. He said, "He that hath a beard is more than a youth, and he that hath no beard is less than a man." No, wrong. That's just so bad at so many levels. But we are about building men, aren't we? And how influential we are with other people. Well, and I've known Jim Angelakis forever. And he taught last week on the whole subject of, do you remember? Pride and humility. His book is coming out soon, Humility and How I Attained It by Jim Angelakis. I'm just kidding. But Jim has always been a humble guy, and I've always thought that about you. You're a warm, nice, humble man. I'm not. And so I appreciate you more than you know. But trials and humility and all that is absolutely important. In fact, as we talk from James, we're reminded that James is one of those very, very important books. James, what was his nickname? Anybody know? James the Just. He was the brother, half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was a man that wrote a powerful New Testament letter, one of the earliest letters. In fact, scholars tell us that James had to have been written from the early 40s to the mid-40s. So it was one of the earliest New Testament letters. In fact, everybody tries to set James against Paul in this. But the reality is, James wrote so early, he may not have ever read any of Paul's letters. That's how early he is. But he was a straightforward guy, wasn't he? What you see is what you get, whether you wanted to get it or not. And when I get to heaven and see James, I'm going to say, James, why did it take you so pickin' long to follow your brother? No, I probably won't. But it was after the resurrection that he was in. And if there was a first pope, it wasn't Peter, it was James. Because he was the leader of the first council of all the churches in Jerusalem. And so, a powerful guy, what you see is what you get. And the verse that I'm going to focus on today is just one verse, James 1:12. here it is. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. James 1:12. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man. A lot of words stand out in just that one verse, don't they? The word blessed. the word man. A lot of times in the New Testament, when the word man is used, it's the Greek word anthropos, which means what? Male and female. But this is the word aner, which is a word that distinctively speaks to men. Now, it does refer to women too, so don't go home and say, this doesn't apply to you, wife. But it is a unique word that he uses here that pertains to us as men. So blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, approved, crown of life. Very interesting. But there is another verse, and Dylan, if you can get it, there it is. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Do you have the other slide that has, let me read it to you. William Barclay put a great verse up here in a freer rendition of the original Greek. He said, happy is the man who meets trials with steadfast constancy, because when he's shown himself of sterling worth, he will receive the crown of life which he has promised to those who love him. And so the virtue that James is bringing up here is the virtue of, what's the word? Perseverance. Now, as we think, guys, for a minute about what the gospel produces, when the gospel changes a man, it affects us at many different levels, doesn't it? It changes our identity. In Christ, who are you now? Are you a sinner? No. How does God view you? He views you as a son, right? A deeply beloved, redeemed son of the Most High God. Your identity is changed in Christ, and identity is the question, answers the question, who am I, right? Well, then when our identity is changed, it affects this whole idea of why are we here? Why are we on the planet, right? That's purpose. Why are you here? Well, you're a leader, you're a worker provider, you're a warrior ambassador. That's why you're here. The Bible tells us our purpose, right? But then thirdly, the gospel changes us and challenges us in the whole area of character. Character is the whole idea of how do I live, right? How do I live? And if we're following the character of Christ, then when you get up in the morning and you go to work, you don't have to figure out in advance how you're going to deal with all the events of the day. Because do you understand the events you're going to face today? Answer, no. But if you know who you are, and if you know what your purpose is here, and you're living the character of Christ, this is how you live, right? And so you go out and you face every challenge of every day, knowing with the character of Christ how to live. That's what character is all about. You don't have to figure everything out ahead of time. Just live the character of Christ and trust Him. And then, of course, that leads to confidence, and legacy takes care of itself. But the character traits that James is focusing on here is the character trait, the virtue of perseverance, and how absolutely crucial it is. And the whole idea is that we face trials every day, right? Trials. The word in the original language, perosmos, carries the idea of trials, things that you don't want to face, that you have to face. It also includes tests, and it also includes the idea of temptations, doesn't it? So James is making the point, blessed are those who persevere under trials. What did he teach? Now, Jim, I don't know if you hammered this last week, but really quickly, we learn from trials, don't we? We learn three things in the verses preceding verse 12. We learn that trials are inevitable, right? Right? I mean, you can't live in a broken world without trials. You can't live in Florida without expecting rain. If you were shocked this morning that it rained, deal with it. Right? It's Florida. If you're shocked when a trial comes, deal with it. This is a broken world. Trials are inevitable. We also learn that trials are diverse. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or trials of many different kinds. They're so diverse. I mean, come on. And there's men in this room right now, and I know some of you, who have gone through trials that are absolutely stunning, powerful, horrible, difficult. Some not so bad. others horrible. And so the trials are diverse. And James tells us that that's the world that we live in. Some trials come from just living in a broken world, and some come from evil that assaults us every day, right? What did Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer to pray? Deliver us from evil. Probably, he really, the more literal focus of that is deliver us from the evil one. Why? Because, guys, it's important for us to remember and never forget that evil always has the initial advantage because it's willing to do the unthinkable to the unsuspecting. Evil always has the initial advantage. That's why we are so glad we believe in the gospel, because Jesus is ultimately one. So trials are diverse. Trials are inevitable. Trials are diverse, and trials are tools. You see, tools. That's so important. And one of the reasons that trials are so powerful is they're tools, as Jim taught, to bring humility, to bring character. They're tools in God's hand. Someone once said, the only thing that improves by being broken is the human heart. The only thing that improves by being broken is the human heart. And God uses trials to bring us again to the end of ourselves, doesn't he? Breaks our heart sometimes so that he can build our character. You and I were redeemed to become like Jesus. And so trials are a major tool. One of the things that I see in this James 1:12 verse, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. This hit me just the other day. This is the picture of the strong, happy man. The strong, happy man. And I don't know if you've ever heard a message on the strong, happy man. Whether you want to or not, that's what we're talking about. We're going to hear about it today. Notice how he starts out, blessed. Now let's go to the next slide, because I want to talk to you a little bit about, y'all heard about Dennis Prager? Dennis Prager, the Jewish talk show host. I've shared this with some of the guys I know, so if this is repetition to some of you, forgive me. But Dennis Prager was asked, he was a talk show host in Southern California, and one time he was asked to come to UCLA and speak. He was asked by a pastor to come and speak. And so Prager said, well, I suspect you want me to speak about religion. And the pastor said, no, I don't want you to speak about religion. If you speak about religion, nobody will come. He says, well, what do you want me to speak about? He said, well, I want you to speak on a very light subject. He said, a light subject? Like what? And the pastor said, well, like happiness. And Prager goes, happiness? He was just going through a divorce. His life was falling apart. He goes, happiness is not a light subject. In fact, happiness is a serious problem. And the pastor said, that's a great title. Talk on that. And so he did. He talked on happiness is a serious problem. Then he wrote a book on it. And would you agree that happiness is a serious problem? I think it is. And Prager's right. He makes a couple of points. And I'm talking from James, but I want to tell you what Prager said real quick. Because he says that happiness is a moral obligation that we have to one another. He says it's a moral obligation that we have to one another. He says we owe it to those closest to us to be happy. He says people act more decently when they're happy. Happy people reflect better on God. Would you agree with that? It's absolutely true. You know what I found in being married to Karen for 43 years, the best 43 years of her life, is that when I'm not happy, what happens? Does she feel it? Are you kidding me? What is the problem with women? They're so pick and intuitive. They always say things to you like, how you doing? You okay? Yes, I'm fine. Leave me alone, honey. You know, when I'm not happy, it shows. Do our kids pick it up? Yes. Why? Because we're leaders. We're influencers, and when we're not happy, it affects other people in a big, 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 big way. Marx, Stalin, Hitler, these were not happy men. Unhappy men do unhappy things to people. He said that unhappiness is easy. To be happy takes work. You agree with that? Yeah. He said, the mind plays a central role. From a biblical perspective, we would say the heart plays a central role to the happiness of a man, and it starts with the gospel, being radically forgiven by Jesus Christ, having our identity changed. That affects the whole man from the inside out. That's the heart in a Hebrew way of thinking. It's not just the way we think, it's the way we feel and the decisions we make, the heart. And then he says there's no good definition of happiness. I totally disagree with that. Because in the Beatitudes, we see Jesus' definition of happiness, don't we? Notice what Jesus says in the Beatitudes. And it's the same word that James uses right here. Blessed means happy. If you're poor in spirit, and this is all a work of God in your hearts, isn't it? If a man is poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is his. That means I'm at the end of myself. If I'm poor in spirit, then I'm more likely to mourn over my own sin, right? If I'm not poor in spirit, I think I got it all together, I'll never mourn over my own sin. But if I mourn over my own sin, the reality is that I actually become more meek, right? See how these build on each other? And I'm happier when I'm poor in spirit and when I mourn over my own sin and when I become more meek. Now, meek is not weak, and it doesn't mean you're a geek, right? It means that you are gentle. But you can still be strong and gentle, can't you? In fact, we should be. Jesus was very, very strong and very meek, right? And so when you're meek, yeah, and you're open, so you hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? And when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you get more righteous. Aren't you better than you used to be, guys? Yeah. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, and God answers the prayer, and he makes you more and more like Jesus. And the reality is you actually become more merciful. And when you become more merciful, doesn't that have a purifying effect in your heart? And then you have two possible ministries that happen. You become a peacemaker, or you become a target. It's called persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Usually both happen, right? But you are profoundly happy when you suffer for Jesus and can witness. Do you think Paul was unhappy when he was suffering for Jesus, Peter? These guys, okay. There are times when I don't feel existentially happy, all right? When I'm sick, when I have COVID. I was in with my mentor, Steve Brown, the other day in his office before we recorded. He coughed and he says, I have COVID. I hope you don't get it. There are times when I had COVID, I wasn't particularly emotionally happy. But when I get put on the spot for Jesus and I defend the faith and I stand up for Jesus, am I happy? Even if somebody tries to make me look like a fool, you bet I am. You are too. Blessed. We get to be peacemakers, but we also become targets, persecuted for the sake of righteousness. All right, all that to say this. James uses the exact same word, blessed. Blessed, happy are you when you persevere under trial. See, the strong, happy man is not a man who doesn't have trials. The strong, happy man is a man who perseveres under trial. And we got it wrong. We listen to humanism. Humanism says you're happy if you got enough money and everything's going good. Nope. The biblical definition is that a strong, happy man is a man who's learned to persevere under trial. Trials are our best friend for spiritual growth. That's what James is getting at. Yeah, you can be happy. And so it's important. Happiness is a serious problem because we often have the wrong understanding of what happiness is. So secondly, I want you to note here that the blessed happy man is the man who perseveres, is the strong happy man. Perseverance, is that a significant theme in the New Testament? Talk to me. Is it just mentioned in James or is it mentioned throughout? All throughout the New Testament, right? Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Catch this. Not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about what? Perseverance, and perseverance proven what? Character. We talk at Man in the Mirror, we talk at our ministry all the time about growing into Christ-likeness and true manhood, right? Well, the reality is character, Christ-like character, can only come through men who know how to persevere. And if you don't persevere in a trial, you will never get the character that you want in Christ. There is an indisputable link in the New Testament between trials, learning to persevere, and spiritual maturity. Indisputable, undeniable, absolutely there. Do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the ability to persevere. Peter says the same thing. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, what? Perseverance. Perseverance. Godliness. And in your godliness, brother. Notice the link there again. Godliness is right after perseverance. And then what does Jesus say in Matthew 24, 13? The one who endures, it's the same word, perseveres to the end, will be saved. Perseverance is the goal. James Clear said, stop learning, die young, keep learning, stay young. Sanctification, Christ-likeness, is indisputably tied to becoming men of perseverance. We do not grow in good times. We grow through hard times. It's God's way. Trials are our friends. They're our growth friends. All right. So recently a young, I've got what, 3 hours today? I'm going to wrap this up and I'm going to land this plane. Hang in there. I got a young friend who saw me at church and he went hiking out in Colorado. And I was talking to him because I like to hike out there too, though I can't do as well as he. But he invited two friends to go with him, two guys from work. Now, he's a young guy, early 30s, fit, and he invited two older guys to go with him and hike in Colorado, right? And these two guys are older. They're in their 40s, but they're fit dudes, right? So I said, hey, how did the trip go? He goes, well, day one was supposed to be a 10-mile hike, and then day two was going to be very easy. It was going to be 6 miles down into the canyon. The next day was going to be a little tougher, 9 miles out, but it wasn't that bad, what wasn't supposed to be. So what happened? He goes, mile five, one of the guys starts throwing up. He starts throwing up, he dehydrates, and it took them hours to get to their campsite. Okay, how many would admit that a 10-mile hike at 10,000 feet it's tough, right? Yeah, we might be throwing up too, okay? But it took them hours to get to the campsite. I said, what happened? Got to the campsite, and he goes, I realized both of these guys were done. And I spent the next 2 days trying to get them out of the backcountry. What was the problem? What was the problem, guys? Endurance. The ability to persevere. The problem was not that these guys were not fit in Orlando, Florida. The problem is these guys were not fit at 10,000 feet. They needed a different type of perseverance that you can only get if you train at 10,000 feet, okay? And so the problem is endurance, and I think that's a lot of what the problems are in America today among Christian men is they don't know how to persevere and we're not training properly. What did General Mattis say? Be a happy warrior. I like that. And there are not too many. Why aren't men... And then I'm going to wrap this up by talking about how we can persevere. But what I want to ask you for a question is, why don't so many Christian men persevere? Why is it that so many Christian men, when they hit a trial, they stop coming to church? They stop growing. They stop getting connected to men like you. where it can be iron sharpens iron for a girl. Why does that happen? You probably have good answers. You could talk about them around your table. But let me suggest that many Christian men in America today are not persevering because they have not been discipled to persevere. They have not been taught that perseverance is a key element of spiritual growth. They've been taught to come to church, taught to read their Bible. They've been guilted in every way, shape, and form. But they haven't been taught that perseverance is absolutely crucial to growth. They've been said, why? They've been guilted in Jesus' name. Guilt is the gift that keeps on giving. Why don't you give more? Why don't you do more? We guilt, but we don't train. And that's why spiritual fathers, as we move into this initiative, how crucial it is that we teach these younger guys that we're trying to influence, not just what they need to become, but how to persevere. We need to teach them how to persevere. At our cultural moment, I can honestly say we are the weakest we've ever been in my lifetime. I know a retired Army colonel who was about ready to get a star, but he said, I'm out. He said, I'm out. And the reason is if we went to war right now, we'd lose. Okay, I'm not. But what I'm saying is that our policies and our politics have led to weakening the men in America today. And we are at the weakest moment ever. We're enamored with psychology and health and wealth and all of that stuff, and we're not producing disciples that change the world. Whatever you believe about those first disciples, they were used by God to persevere, and every one of them suffered. Read the little booklet, In Search of the 12, little book, In Search of the 12 Apostles, Disciples. What happened to them? All but John died a martyr's death. And you don't, so it's a little uncomfortable here. I'm saying that we're all martyrs. That's the Greek word martyros, martyr, witness. All right, so guys, what affects me as I think about this verse is how can I learn to be a person, how can I persevere more? Let me share with you just real quick, then we're done. You can talk about it, clean up the heresy around the table that I've maybe committed. How can we grow in perseverance? Because I love what it says. Blessed, happy is the man who perseveres, right? So how do we do it? We got to train for it. Just like those young men and the, well, they're younger than me, needed to train to hike at 10,000 feet. We need to train to persevere. So let me pick the acronym, TRAIN. Here it is, TRAIN, T. We have got to think relentlessly biblical. We have got, how do you train to persevere? If you will train your mind and your heart to think relentlessly from a biblical perspective. That means don't just go to a Bible study, don't just read the scripture. It means train your mind so that your mind thinks in terms of perseverance, that your mind thinks biblically. What did Spurgeon say? He said he wanted his preacher's blood to run biblically. Our hearts, our blood needs to be bought. We need to memorize scripture. Take it in deep. And I don't mean just a verse here and there. I mean men who want to influence men who want to persevere. We have got to be men memorizing large chunks of scripture to be transformed by the renewing of the spirit in the inner man so that we can persevere, so that we think God's thoughts after him. So train is to think biblically. That helps us persevere. And then the R is power, resurrection. I don't think that we can train to persevere through trials until we have a firm grasp on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that it really happened, right? Easter changes everything. And that means that there really is a power greater than ourselves to cause us to persevere through any trial. The R also stands for me, reward. I know that if I persevere and I grow, I'm going to be rewarded. I don't do this to be rewarded. I've already been rewarded that I'm God's deeply beloved son. But this is the frosting on the cake. You will be rewarded. Blessed are those who persevere in a trial. Once they have been approved, they will receive the crown of life, which God has promised, the crown which is life. Think of an athlete. Think of an Olympic gold medal. That's the idea. And so to train to persevere, I've got to think biblically. I've got to have the resurrection underlying everything I do when I face a trial. This trial is not bigger than the resurrection. The resurrection is bigger than my trial. Then I can train the A. The A for me stands for appointment with God. Appointment. I got to be with him. Not just to read his word, but to listen. To listen. I don't train to persevere until I hear the voice of God through scripture, through prayer. But when I listen, even in the midst of trials, when I have an appointment with God and I listen, I hear things. You said you need counseling if you hear things. But when you spend time with God and the Word and with the holy cup of coffee, don't you begin to hear the voice of God? We need that appointment with God to persevere, because he can help answer the question, what's the purpose of this? T-R-A-I. Well, guys that know me know that always speaks of identity. When I'm in the midst of a trial, I have to remember that I am the deeply beloved, redeemed son of the Most High God. God's not angry at me. I live in a broken world. I'm his son. And that's who I am, and that identity will never, never change in all time or eternity. And so the identity keeps me going. And then the N is never forget God's favor. Our family has a little deal. My daughter put it together on a piece of wood for me, but I always just say to my kids that are growing up, I say, hey, Owensons never give up. Owensons never give up. And what the gospel does for me is it helps me to never give up. And to have that motto running through my mind helps me train in perseverance for the time when the trials come, and they will come. All right, I'm going to end with this. Then you can talk about it around the table. In the 6th century, Saint Benedict was trying to clean up the church, right? So you've all heard of Saint Benedict? Some of you go, no, I don't know. The Benedictine monks? Okay, all right. So they lived in these cloisters, right? Guys that are trying to live intentionally for Jesus Christ in the midst of a very corrupt culture. And so there would be people that would come to the Benedictine monasteries and they'd want to stay. And so the rule of Saint Benedict included this. If any pilgrim monk comes from distant parts with a wish to, as a guest, to dwell in our monastery and will be content with the customs which he finds in this place, and does not perchance by his lavishness disturb the monastery, but is simply content with what he finds, he shall be received for as long as a time as he wishes. If indeed he finds fault with anything or expose it reasonably and with humility and charity, the abbot shall discuss it prudently, lest perchance God has sent him for this very purpose. But if he has been found gossipy or divisive in the time of his sojourn as the guest, not only ought he not be joined in the body of the monastery, but also it shall be said to him honestly that he must depart. If he does not go, let two stout monks, in the name of God, explain the matter to him. I love that. Benedict wanted to develop what kind of monks? Stout monks. What kind of men is Jesus trying to develop? Grace energized, strong, and happy men who advance the kingdom until he comes again. You take it to heart. Talk about it around your table. Clean up the mess. And thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. Good to see you guys.
thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at BibleStudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.